enjoyed the singing tonight. It's been a blessing, hasn't it? I know you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. So we ought to all be in a good way for church tonight. Amen? And I'm glad to be here with you tonight in this revival. I know if you've had a good meeting these last couple of nights with Brother Kirkendall. I know you've enjoyed hearing him preach, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I enjoyed all your singing, all of it. Thank you, the Hendricks family, and also all the other singing, the ladies ensemble, and I appreciate the solo just now. I appreciate all the good singing. You know, good singing sort of sets the tone for things, doesn't it? If you got dead music, you'll have dead service. That's God's truth. I've been in some of the, listen, man, I wanted to get up and help them myself. It was so dead. Amen. It's pretty bad when I'm trying to help them. But anyhow, I appreciate the good singing tonight and all of it. Now take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. And I'm glad to be here with you here at Bible Baptist. There's a good crowd, real good crowd on Wednesday night. And tonight, one of our men preached for me tonight in my absence. I try to not be gone a lot of Wednesday nights. I'm gone a few. I try to not be. And a couple of Sundays maybe a year. And I try to not be gone any of them. But I've got two this year. I think I'm going to be gone two Sundays. And I don't advertise that a bunch. I try to not be gone on Sunday. I was there 20 years before I was ever gone a Sunday. I was there 20 years, I guess, before I was ever gone a Sunday. Maybe longer than that. So, you know, you got to sort of hang around if you're going to pastor the thing. Amen? You got to be there. And so you pray for me and pray for us up there, you know, in Trinity. You pray for our church. God continue to bless it and keep his hands upon the work there. You know, some people think if you stay a long time, it gets easier. It's the opposite. As you say, the more years you stay, I think it's a little tougher. You know, people get used to you, and the work is still there, and to keep people motivated. But you ought to motivate yourself. You ought to motivate yourself and just see the need and get involved. And, you know, sometimes you may not have all the cheerleaders you need around you to get you involved in the work, so you got to cheerlead for yourself a little bit and get yourself involved in things and all of that. Now, I'm going to try to encourage you tonight to just stay in. You know, I heard Dr. Jack Hiles say years ago many years ago at pastor school. I was up there at one of his old pastor schools he used to have way back there. And I was sitting there, and I heard him say, and I thought, surely that can't be right. But he said it again, and I said, it is what he said. He said, a church will turn over about every 10 years. He said, a lot of the people, now you'll have some people that will stay in their church for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Now I'm talking about the members. And you'll have some that'll stay for many, many, many years. And that's good. That's the way it ought to be. But I thought that was sad that every 10 years, he said, that the thing sort of turns over. Now, it ought to be growing, but it ought not to turn over. And you make sure you're not in that turnover crowd. You stay. Now, the only way to build anything is you got to stay. I mean, the pastor's got to stay and the members has got to stay. And dig in, and everybody work together. That's how you build. You have to just stay and stick it out. So I'm going to preach to you tonight, and sometimes that's easier said than done. But in the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter, and verse number 21, it said, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and to not loose from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angels of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now I want you to pay attention to that 31st verse there where Paul said to the centurion, that's the captain, he said to the captain of the ship and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now here's a ship that looks like it's going to come apart. It looks like it's that the storm's going to do it in, and it does. As a matter of fact, the front of it, if you read this thing, go on and read it. The forefront of the ship sticks into the bank or into the shoreline, and then the waves are so strong that they get a hold of the ship and just break it in half, so to speak. And these men have to try to swim, and the Bible said that some did swim in verse 44, some on boards and some on broken pieces, but they all escaped. And the reason they all escaped is because God said that they would. God said that they'd all escape, and they all made it to the shore. Now, but had they jumped overboard, they would have perished. Paul said this. He said, except you abide in the ship, you'll all likewise perish. Yeah. Let me say this tonight. I was looking at your sign up there. It said, find hope. Well, the hope is in the Lord Jesus. And you know that tonight. The hope is in Him. And God established two or three establishments, and not more than that. But one of them was the home. That's the first one. That's the oldest organization in the world is the home. It is. And it started there with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then you got government. God organized government then. And then let me say this then. God organized the local church. Yes, sir. Now God organized the home to be held together by the church, and the church by the homes. You see what I'm saying? A church can't survive without homes. And a home can't survive without a church. Are you with me tonight? See, tonight, the best thing a person could do in the world, if a young couple gets married, the first thing they ought to do is know that they got a good church to start out with, even before they got good jobs. Now, man ought to have a good job before he gets married. Amen? Or if he don't, he will wish he would have there if he get a job. But, brother, let me tell you something tonight. You need not only a good job, you need a good church. Because I'm going to tell you something tonight. And lots of times people will move because jobs move them. But brother, let me tell you something. If they try to put you somewhere where there's not a good church, let me tell you, I've never been one myself personally that never let a job ever determine the will of God for my life. I just never have done that. In my life. Of course, I never did have good jobs either. I never did have a good job, you know. And when I was working public work back in the day, you could quit a job today and just walk in, go get another, and make it about that much money on the next day. Some of y'all remember them days, don't you? And you didn't have to apply online and all that stuff. They wanted to look at what they're hiring, you know. And But I can remember that on the days when you got a job, you walked in, talked to the man. He looked you over and asked you if you'd come in every day. And if he looked at you and thought you'd work, he'd hire you. But let me say this. You wouldn't move You wouldn't move out of your church because of a job. Folks, if you're not careful, a man can get in the same shape that Lot got into. You know, Lot got in a fix doing that, trying to move when he should have sat still. Now, these men right here are told by the Apostle Paul, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I want you to understand tonight that the old ship of Zion, let's just in our minds tonight get it fixed that it's Bible Baptist Church, and it is for you if this is your home church. This is it. Now, let me say that your home and my home and your life and my life is going to have storms in it. You're going to have storms in your life. I'm going to have storms in my life. They're going to come. And by the way, they're going to come whether you do right or don't do right. But I'd rather be in the center of the will of God doing right. You know, some storms are unnecessary. You know, for instance, Jonah. Jonah, that storm he went through there in the book of Jonah, that storm was totally unnecessary. All he had to do was get on the right boat. You know, sometimes you get on the right boat, the water's calm. You know what I'm saying? It's calm if you get on the right boat. And Jonah got on one when he was supposed to went to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish, and he fleed from the presence of God. He left the will of God. And brother, let me tell you something. He left, but he paid for it, didn't he? And you know, if you're going to ride the devil's boat, you've got to pay. You've got to make payments on it. You ride the devil's boat, and he spent 3 nights and 3 days in the seaweed motel, didn't he? In the bottom of the ocean. In the bottom of the sea, they're crying out to God for God to help him. And buddy, when God got done with him, when he come out of there, when that fish vomited him out, he hit the highway running, crying, repent, towards Nineveh, and the greatest revival that ever happened in Nineveh. Now, we think it was Pentecost, but it wasn't. That really wasn't a revival. That was just a bunch of people got saved. It was the outcome of revival. They spent days in that upper room praying. But the real revival that broke out was down there in Nineveh, man. It even said the animals. I mean, everybody from the king down to the animals, they put them in sackcloth and ashes, and the whole crowd got right with God down there. Hey, but it wouldn't have took that long if Jonah just got on the right boat. Now, let me say this tonight. Doctrinally speaking, you're in the right boat. You're in an independent Baptist church, believes the King James Bible. Yes, say amen. Hey, you believe in salvation by grace. You believe in the security of the believer. And you believe in the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of God. You believe that tonight. You believe in heaven. You believe in hell. Your doctrine is right. And you're in the right kind of church, going after sinners, running these old buses, supporting missionaries, doing the right thing. Now, let me tell you something. What you need to do is just dig in and stay on board. Yeah. Just dig in and stay on board. Some people say, preacher, we're looking for a church. And some people's looking for the perfect church. Let me tell you, it does not exist. And it will not exist till the church gets home one day and gets in heaven. And then everybody there will be saved. It's a member of it. And there won't be no squabbles or fusses or hurt feelings or none of the rest of it up there. But until then, you need to stay on board. Amen. I mean, just take your family and just say this. We're not getting off of the boat. We're going to stay on board. You know, one time, me and my wife, and please forgive me for this if it ain't the way you feel, but we're not cruisers, if you want to. You know what I'm trying to say? We're not much on this cruising, riding a cruise boat. You know what I'm talking about? Taking these sea cruises. We're not much on that. I mean, we're just country people, and that's too much water for me, and I can't swim. That's honest to God truth. But when we got on a cruise ship, I told her that she can't swim at all, and I can just swim very little. And we got on a ship, and I said to her, let's go find out where the lifeboats are. And we did, didn't we, honey? We went up and we got on that boat, and we looked over the side, and we seen them orange rafts that's tied all the way around. They had rafts all the way around that ship. And I told her, I said, if something goes wrong on here, this thing gets ready to go down. I'll get you by the hand, and we'll go as fast as we can and make sure we try to get on one of these things right here. Amen. We know where the lifeboat was. Let me tell you something. You say, why? Well, any vessel can go down, but I got news for you. Tonight, you're in the safest vessel you could ever be in. Hey, let me tell you tonight that the church is not going down. The church, one day, thank God, is going up. Amen. And if you're saved tonight, you're going up with the church when the trumpet of God sounds. But here, Paul was a prisoner on this particular boat here in Acts 27. He was a prisoner along with these other men that were prisoners on here. And Paul was sailing to Rome to go stand before Caesar to be tried. And when they get out there, this awful storm comes up. This awful storm comes up. And the boat looks like that it's going under. But Paul told them, stay on board. Now let me say this. If they would have listened to the preacher, they'd have never gotten this fixed.
Right. Yeah.
See, Paul told them back there in verse 9 and verse number 11 and verse 21, he told them, he said, you should have hearkened unto me and left this boat right where it's at. He told them to not go and sail, see. But they didn't listen. And they cut the ropes loose and took off, and they sailed a little bit and run into some wind. And the Bible said that they supposed they'd obtained their purpose. But what they didn't know, that was just the tailwinds of that thing. Brother, they was getting ready to sail right into a storm called Euroclydon. And they was getting ready to sail into that storm. And brother, it was going to be one that they wasn't used to being in. I mean, even the mariners, even the sailors, it scared them. But Paul had inside information. And he went down and got a hold of God and prayed. And God heard his prayers and told him, Paul, not one of these people's going to die. Not a one of them. Not a hair on their head would be harmed. Nobody's going to be harmed. But in order for people to not die, you're going to have to stay on board. Now let me say this right here. If you're going to make it in life, if you ain't got nothing else, you better have a good home church that you're a member of. I mean, listen, where people's praying for you and where you're plugged in. You know what it means, stay on board? That's what it means, be plugged in. That's exactly what it means. I mean, get on and plan to stay on, see, till the Lord comes one day and calls you away. Now, let me tell you why you need to stay on board. He said in verse 31, except you stay on board, you'll perish. Well, let me say this. First of all, stay on board because of staying in God's will. Staying in God's will. You know, Ephesians 5:17 says this, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know that God has a will for you, for your life? And do you know you can't just go do what you want to do? What I'm trying to say, I think God has a will geographically for people. Brother, for you it's India. See, now if I went to India tonight, I mean to stay, I'd be out of the will of God. How far is it over there? How many thousand? I'd be 12,000 miles out of the will of God if I went over there. You say, why? God don't want me over there. Amen. He wants me here. He wants me in where I'm at, there in Moxville. You see what I'm saying? Now if he stays here, he's 12,000 miles out. And I got news for you that there's protection in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, there's protection. I believe this. I believe a child of God is indestructible in the will of God till God's finished with you. I believe that. I really do. I don't believe, you know, I'm afraid of height, to get up on things that are high. I'm afraid of height. But can I tell you something? I'll get in an airplane and fly, and bless God, they can turn that thing any way they want to, and it don't bother me. I mean, if they turn it and fly upside down, it don't bother me. I'm going somewhere to preach, that doesn't bother me the way that plane's flying, as long as it keeps flying. Amen? It doesn't bother me a bit. Turn it any way you want to turn it. It doesn't bother me. You say, why? Because I'm doing what God would have me to do. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly right. I'm in the will of God. Now let me tell you, when God gets done with me, he can take me home anytime he wants to. If that's tonight, that's okay with me. If he gets it done with me. But when God gets done with me, He'll take me out. But not until. As long as I stay in the will of God. And let me tell you, you need to do that too. You stay in God's will. Stay in God's will. Always pray it. Let me show you a story. If you don't think it matters about families, stay in the will of God. And by the way, sometimes you'll be tried and things will come your way to see if you will stay in the will of God. Do you know that a man by the name of Elimelech in the book of Ruth and the first chapter, Elimelech had a wife named Naomi, and they had two boys, one's named Mahlon, the other Chilion. And these four people lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah meant land of bread. Yes, sir. And they was in the land of bread, and a famine came, and they moved down to Moab. And the Bible said they moved, they sojourned. That's what it says they done. They sojourned. You know what that means? That means to take a trip, but not with intentions to stay. That's what it means, sojourn. And they went down there with not intentions to stay. But let me tell you something. It took them 10 years to get back. Naomi was gone 10 years. In 10 years that she was gone, listen to what I'm telling you, her husband got sick and died. Elimelech died. Both of her boys married Moabite girls. And they both boys died. Mahlon, Chilion died. She had three funerals down there. And then one day she said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going back up yonder. And, you know, Orpha left her and went back to her people. And Ruth said, my God will be your God, and my people, your people, my people, and I'm going with you. And she clave unto her. Now listen to what I'm telling you. And when she went back and the people saw her, they said this about Naomi. Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? And you know why? She didn't look the same. You know why she wasn't the same? She'd been out of God's will for 10 years. And they said, is this Naomi? Here's what she said. The Lord hath sent me out full and brought me back empty. You know what? She thought she was empty when she left. That's why she left. There's a famine. She thought she's going to be empty. Let me tell you something. Hey, God can feed you right here as good as He can feed you in the world as long as you stay in God's will. You stay in God's will. I'll tell you what, friend. There's nobody going to starve to death in the will of God. Amen? That's exactly right. I done found that out. And brother, what you better do is listen, when the storms come, set still. Wait on God. See, sometimes it's an opportunity to trust God and believe God. But if you're not careful, you'll jump ship and get out of board, and Naomi come back. She didn't look the same. She wasn't the same. You say, why? She left the will of God. Then let me say this right here. Stay on board because of safety's sake. You know that in God's will, in verse 22 here, look what it says, Acts 27, verse number 22. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And he said, there'll be no man's loss among you, but of the ship. Verse 22. In other words, if you stay on the ship, you ain't going to, nothing happen to you. Now look down in verse number 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Look at verse 34. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. You know what? That's pretty good when you don't even lose a hair out of your head and you went through a bad storm. Ain't it? Do you know that every hair in your head's numbered and God knows the number? And He said there won't be one fall out of your head. If you'll stay in the will of God, there's safety. Hey, do you know something? That I was talking about that old cruise boat a while ago that I was on. We took one cruise. We're not too big on that much. But we was on that one. They asked me to preach on it. And I preached every day on that thing. And but every way you looked when you come up on the deck of it, every way you looked was water. Every way you looked was water. Brother, I'm telling you, if you ain't a good swimmer, you can get nervous about that. Amen? But you know something? We got in a storm in that, didn't we, honey, in that boat? Man, we was in this little bitty room, Our room was real small, didn't have no windows in it. But you talk about dark. When you cut the lights out, it was dark in that old ship. And that night we went to bed, and brother, that ship, listen, we woke up in the middle of the night, and one minute you'd almost be standing up, and the next minute you'd be looking down that way. And you know what it was? The captain come over the mic, and he said, "We're in a tropical storm." Brother, he didn't have to tell me. I knowed something was going on. But he said, "Don't get out of the bed. Don't anybody get up. Don't try to move. Don't move." You know what? The captain told us, stay still in the storm. Hey, you know what the Lord's telling you to do right here? Hey, stay still in the storm. Paul said, if you'll abide on the ship, there's safety. Now let me tell you something, they didn't have to worry about me doing. They didn't have to worry about me jumping over the side. You know why? There's more stuff outside of these walls that can hurt you than there is inside. You better understand something. You better understand that it's safety when you stay in the church. Are you following me? Yeah. See, you get out of God's will and get out of here. The devil, brother, he's got you in his sights. You know why? Now you done left the will of God. You're outside the safety of the ship. When you quit church and you get sideways about some little old something, or you get your feelings hurt, or this happened or that happened, let me tell you something. And you quit the church, let me tell you, the devil, he's got you in the stormy waters. See, I was preaching in Mississippi a few years ago down in Biloxi, Mississippi, is where I was at, preaching for Steve Crane, and Steve's daddy was in the service. And Steve's dad was telling me that this is honest truth what I'm telling you, he was on the USS Indianapolis. There's a book published about the USS Indianapolis. And a Japanese torpedo hit that ship and sank it during the Second World War. And I forget how many men that he told me was in the water out there with their life jackets on. Now listen to this. For several days they were out there. And he told me that he saw sharks get some of his friends and take them under. And destroyed them. And he even told me, Steve, that he felt sharks bump the bottom of his feet as they were swimming under. I tell you, bless God, if they'd have bumped the bottom of my feet, I tell you what, there ain't been but two people walk on water, Jesus and Peter, but there'd have been a third one, amen? There'd have been one more and they'd have been trying to pedal it, amen? Oh, let me tell you something. You know what, though? That don't happen if you stay on the boat. See, the truth of it is this right here. You're on a safer boat than the USS Indianapolis. Yeah. See, how you know? Because the church, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, you're in the safest vessel you can be in. I don't care what kind of torpedo hits the church, it ain't going under. Yeah. Now, it may knock a hole in it, but it ain't going under. It may cause you some discomfort, but it ain't going under. Are you listening? Yeah, so the safest thing you could do is get your wife by the hand and your youngins by the hand and hang on and say, bless God, we're staying on board. See, now, you see, storms will come, but stay on for safety's sake. Stay in the boat. Then let me say, stay on because of strength that you get on board. See, let me show you something. Look in verse number 33. Look at Acts 27:33. I'm trying to give you something here that'll help you. Look at verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day you've tarried and have continued fasting, having taken nothing. You think that wasn't a storm? 14 days, the storm's so bad you ain't eat nothing. Brother, listen, I've been in some good ones, but I ain't never been in one made me lose my appetite for 14 days, have you? But they did. They've not eaten for 14 days. And Paul said right here, he said, wherefore I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health. Listen to this. You know what the Bible is? It's meat.
That's right.
And if you stay on board, the meat is on board. It ain't out there. It's not outside these walls. It's inside the walls. The food was on board. And Paul said, hey, fellas, y'all went 14 days not eating. He said, it's time to eat. This is for your health's sake. You know what if you'll do? You'll roll in here Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock. You roll in here Sunday morning with your Bible, 10 o'clock, there's a meal for you. And you stay for the 11 o'clock hour, there's another meal. You come back at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock on Sunday night, there's another meal. You roll back in here on Wednesday night, there's another meal. You know what? You'll make it. But let me show you what happens. Some people's like these sailors. They're on board, they're not eating, they're not reading their Bible and feeding themselves. Amen? You know, it's terrible. Paul even had to say, let's eat. They ought to be coming to Paul saying, hey, where you got the groceries? It's time to eat. Amen? It's time to eat. And let me tell you, when you roll in here on Sunday morning, Sunday school, 10 o'clock, it's time to eat. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, it's time to eat. 6 o'clock Sunday night, time to eat. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, time to eat. You see, you're getting nourishment to help you when you go back out these doors to help you to make it back for the next service. Are you following me? See, there's strength. There's strength in what you get. Now, let me say this. You can't get enough strength just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're going to have to open your Bible yourself. Huh? You got to read your Bible yourself every day. You need to be in it yourself. You can't just wait on what you get from Sunday school teacher and preacher. That ain't enough. You got to eat something every day. Feed yourself off of the Word of God. Reading your Bible every day, and that whets your appetite to come back when service time is. But stay on board. Stay on board. Listen, friend. Stay on board for strength's sake, you see. And I'm going to close out here in just a minute. But then let me say this right here. Stay on board then for stamina that you get from fellowship with others. You know, some people say, well, you know what? I just don't need anybody. Yes, you do. Yeah, you need the church family. You need the family here. Look at verses 35 and 36. Wherefore, I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Hey, there's 276 men here on this ship. And you know what they did? When they got some meat, then they all felt better. They was of good cheer. You know what? I guarantee you, Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, the devil will do everything he can to keep you out of here. Right. Now, let me say this. I'm not home, and I ain't talked to nobody about nothing. Steve picked me up long enough for us to go over and get something to eat before church. I hadn't talked to Steve. I don't remember the last time I talked to him about anything, about church, about what's going on, anything. I don't know. I don't know any of you. But I can tell you this. If you ain't careful, there'll be a lot of things that'll try to keep you from church. Boy, be careful about it. I mean, listen. In the summer, summertime is the easiest time in the world for the devil to get you away from God. I'll tell you why. You get off schedule. Kids don't have to get up. You don't have to do this, that, the other. And you can get out and go on a Sunday and miss a Sunday here and miss a Sunday there. And then the kids, and listen, it used to be, when I was a little boy, there wasn't no little league ball, nothing. They wasn't no little league. You either went to school and played ball or you didn't play. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about. Some of the older ones does. But you didn't play ball. There wasn't no community league. If you went to school, if you made the school team, you played. And if you didn't play. Unless you just got in the sandlot game. But nowadays, people's putting their kids into sports. I'm not against it. But you know what they'll do? They'll plan a game for you on Sunday. And they'll plan it on Wednesday night. They don't care nothing about your church. But let me tell you, friend, when the devil's machine gun's rattling off rounds, it ain't going to be the ball team that pulls you back together. It's going to be the thing keep you going, the church. You need the church. You need this church in here. And you need the Word of God taught to you and taught to your family. And that's the thing that'll pull it together. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil can get you out in the water. He's got you. He'll drown you. Hey, you know, years ago, let me tell you a story. I hope this puts a fear of God in somebody. I don't know who I'm even talking to. I have no idea. But years ago, Steve, you probably wouldn't even remember this. This happened really when you was a kid. We had a family that me and Brother Eddie Bodford was one of my deacons, and we went to their house one Thursday night. A couple you ever met in your life, in their 20s, probably late 20s. We led them to Christ. I'll say the guy's name was Bob. It wasn't Bob, but I'll call him Bob. And we'll call her Sharon. Her name wasn't Sharon, but we'll say Bob and Sharon. And we led them to Christ. They came to church on Sunday, walked down the aisle, made it public, got baptized, joined our church. Boy, got involved in the church. Doing great. Doing wonderful. Didn't have any children. This woman got a job with an insurance company, working for an insurance company. And they were just models, I mean, in our church. They just what you'd want everybody to be. And then all of a sudden, she started climbing the ladder in that company. And she said to me, and I noticed them missing some. And one Sunday, it was drizzling rain. I come out of the church, and they were in their car. And they rolled the window down and said, "Preacher, we're on our way to Atlanta." She said, "Sharon here's got a big meeting with the corporation." Said she's been named the number one sales representative for this company in the whole southeastern part of the United States. I said, "Well, I'm glad that you have been, but I'm going to tell you something. Y'all been missing church." I said, "You've been missing church, and I want to tell you something. I love you both, and you know I do. But if you ain't careful, the devil's going to get right in the middle of your home and tear it all to pieces. And what you think is where you're climbing the ladder, the devil's setting you up for the kill." And I said, "If you're not careful, he'll get in the middle of your home and destroy your marriage." And I'll never forget, she reached over and got him by the hand and said, "Never." When I said that, listen to this. It kept getting worse. They began to miss. It kept getting worse. First thing you know, I was writing them letters and calling them on the phone, going to see them, doing everything. And one Thursday night, we met for soul winning, and the phone back here in a little sound booth rang, and one of the men got it and said, "Preacher, it's a call for you." And I went, and it was Bob. It was that fella I'm telling you about. And they said, he was crying, and he said, "Preacher, can you get to my house as fast as you can?" And I took one of the deacons with me, and we took off, and we drove and found where they lived. Big, beautiful, beautiful home they lived in there, both of them making big money and all of that. And he was sitting in the living room in the dark, on a sofa with his hands buried into his face with tears squirting between his fingers, and had a letter laying on the coffee table there, And when I walked in, I pecked on the door. He said, "Come in." We went in, and he was sitting there. He jumped up and grabbed me by the jacket, grabbed me here, and pulled me up to him and said, "Preacher, why didn't you slap me? Why didn't you yank us and jerk us physically? Why didn't you just grab a hold of us? We didn't have enough sense to see what you were saying." Well, I tried. He said, "Everything," he said, "you said would happen, happened." He said, "My wife called today and told me she'd moved in with this man who was a big operator in that corporation. Left me." He was crying like a little kid. He said, "My wife's gone. My marriage is gone." You know why? He didn't stay on board. Folks, their safety, their strength, their stamina, their safety in the ship. Are y'all following me? See, in here, you said, "Preacher, the devil could never get in our home." Let me tell you, he just needs a crack. He just needs a little place to wiggle in, to get in your home and destroy it. And as long as you stay on board, there's safety. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anything church have, get there. And then you get in this book every day and let God help you, see. There's stamina. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let me tell you, when you leave the crowd, you leave the church, you're getting in trouble. You know Elijah, how great, and I'm going to finish up here just in a minute. You know Elijah was a great man, a great man. I mean, he was such a great man, he could pray and fire would come from heaven, or he could pray and rain would come, or he could stop it. It didn't matter. Do you know that he went up on Mount Carmel and prayed? Remember that? And he faced him 450 prophets of Baal. Remember how that he prayed down the fire? Remember that? And consumed the altar. And then he killed all them false prophets. And Jezebel wrote him a letter, sent a messenger and said, "You tell him tomorrow he'll be just like my prophets. He'll be dead." And he took off out of town running, didn't he? In 1 Kings 19. And you know what it said? He was running, and while he was running, he stopped and told his servant to stay put. And then he went on by himself. You know what? That's one of the worst things he could have done. Everybody needs people around them. Now, you may think you're the Lone Ranger, but let me remind you, the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Let me tell you something. You got to have people. And you need people to encourage you. You know the fact that you're here tonight, you encourage others, just people seeing you.
Amen. That's right.
Hey, I know how it is at my place. If attendance is down a little bit, I'll look out there and be standing up here in the choir singing, and I look out there and I say, "Well, I wonder where old so-and-so is. I wonder where so-and-so is. I wonder where so-and-so is. I wonder why they're not here. I wonder why so-and-so's not here." First thing you know, you're discouraged. Elijah got discouraged and sat down under a juniper tree and said, "It's enough, let me die." But he might not have got discouraged if he'd have kept that servant with him. See what I'm trying to say? Old servant might have said, "Oh, Elijah, remember about that time when you prayed down fire? And remember when you prayed and the rain stopped? Remember when the birds, remember when the ravens fed us down yonder by the brook of Cherith and God put us down there by a water hole and fed us? Remember all that?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd forgot about some of that." And it would have brought him out of it. But my friend, when you jump ship and you get out of church and you get away from God and you get out of the way and the will of God and you get out of God's will, friend, let me tell you something. Devil can talk to you. You say, "The devil don't talk to me. The devil don't talk to people." Listen to me. Every day people committing suicide. Who do you think's behind all that? Who do you think's talking to people? Man, I was in a psychiatric ward a while back, talking to people. Some people I was seeing in there that I had to visit to talk to them, and I had several of them in there tell, "Man, I hear voices." Well, let me tell you, it wasn't God telling you to cut your wrist and take overdose on pills. That's not God. And let me tell you something, if you'll stay in here and you hear messages and Sunday school lessons from the Word of God, and you hear the right kind of music coming from here on the right, the will of God, you hear the right thing, it'll keep you encouraged. Are you listening? Are you listening? See, you have to stay on board. Hey, stay on board because the storm will pass. You know, in the 33rd verse, it says, "And while the day was coming on." Hey, you know what? Tomorrow's another day. The storm may pass. Stay with it. Just stick with it. The storm will pass. It's going to pass. I like it in the Bible when it says, "And it came to pass." And it came to pass. And it came to pass. Hey, there's been a lot of storms. I've had to wait on God. Then let me say this, stay on board because the shoreline ain't far off. Hey, I'll tell you something, friend. Hey, I believe the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming. You say, how? Because He said He was. Jesus said in John 14:3, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's coming again one day. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Hey, I've been on board for nearly half a century. Man, I've seen it cloud up and I've seen some good ones come. In nearly 50 years of being saved, I've seen some doozies. I've seen some storms. But you know what I've always done? I always managed to just stay on board. Stay on board. Man, I've been in churches before. I've seen storms come to the church. We had a little old couple in our church, Danny and Cynthia Durham. They're getting older now, but many years ago they had two little girls. And they were calling for tornadoes in our area. It was on the news that tornadoes was coming. And old Danny lived in a little, small, single-wide trailer right across from the church. And Danny called me one night when he was calling for them storms. He said, "Preacher," he said, "can me and Cynthia and Ginger and Lee Ann get in the basement of the church and stay the night till the storms pass by?" I said, "Yes, sir." And a little bit, I heard that little old Toyota car he had. I heard it pull in the parking lot. I seen the headlights go over there. And I was looking out the bedroom window, and I could see the silhouette of that man with his arm around his wife and two little girls in front of him walking. And I could see them walking in the basement of that church. And I thought, right there it is. Right there's the key. When the storms are coming, you head for the right place. Old Danny had good sense. He said, "I ain't going to be in this little single-wide trailer. I'm going to be inside the house of God in the basement of it." Amen. And when the storms come, I'll weather the storm. Old Danny's still in church today. Turned out two fine girls. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be too smart to just stay put. A lot of people wish they'd have just stayed where they're at. And then let me tell you, sometimes when you jump off and you jump overboard, your pride won't let you come back. Your pride won't let you. Hey, best thing to do is just stay on board. Hey, and you know what? They did. Storm still wasn't over, but they made it to safety to the shore. If you read it, it says 276 of them. And when they got, if you think just because you get through one storm, if you just go over here, you'll get out of the storm. In the 28th chapter, when they got to that island of Melita, they were still in a storm. It was cold and raining, and Paul went to pick up a bundle of wood to put on the fire to get warm, and lo and behold, a snake bit him. In the next chapter, very first thing that happened, after, you'd think after you've been through all of that, you'd say, "Well, boy, we get over here, there won't be no storm." It was still raining, wind still blowing. He picked up a bundle of wood, and a snake come out and bit him on the hand. And you know what he done? He shook it off. You know why he shook it off? Because he stayed on board.
That's right.
And you can shake off a lot of stuff if you stay on board.
Yes, sir.
But you got to stay on board. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, stay in church.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you hear preaching and God speaks to you, you head for the altar and do business with God. You do business with God. Keep things right with God. Keep everything out of the way between you and God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. If there's anybody at all in this room tonight, you don't know you're saved, you ought to get saved tonight. Anybody don't know you're saved, get saved.
Amen.
If you are saved, sell out and stay put.
Amen.
Amen? And say, "God, use me right here where I am. Use me right here. However you see fit to use me. Teaching Sunday school, driving a bus, working a bus route, working in the nursery, singing in the choir, ushering, whatever it is, find a spot and say, 'This is my church, and I'm..."